Hello, folks. Welcome to the LRIS podcast series. This is Will Aitchison. Hey, it's my birthday today, and I'm steaming mad. I'll confess I've been building up to it since last Wednesday as I've watched the events unfold since the attack on the Capitol, and I've watched the media coverage of all of that. Then this morning when I came into the office, I learned that my office had been attacked for the third time. All of the windows broken on two sides of the building. Defacing graffiti was sprayed on one wall that makes clear why it was we were attacked. It's because we have the temerity, the gall, to represent the Portland Police Association. There's all sorts of graffiti attacking the PPA and making statements that police should not have the right to have a contract. The intent, clearly, of these attacks is to make some sort of broad political statement. But the intent is also to drive us out of our business, to convince us that our lives might be a bit less dangerous if we all practiced family law or chased ambulances or wrote wills, whatever it might be. And that, my friends, is a form of terrorism, using lawlessness in order to intimidate, to accomplish a political end. I don't mean to elevate the whole situation by referring to it as terrorism, because of course there's much, much worse terrorism. But really, this is a form of it. So that's why I'm sitting in a room with broken glass on the floor, shattered windows, recording this podcast. I want to start by sharing with you some thoughts that I've had about the Capitol riot. I have always been on the progressive side of the political spectrum. I've been that way pretty much my entire life. I'm not really an anomaly. I think actually most lawyers who represent police unions find themselves somewhere on the progressive side of the political spectrum. It's because we believe in representing working people. That's why we became labor lawyers. Trust me, we didn't get into it for the money. Police officers are at their heart, just a form of working people. I have grown over the 40-some-odd years I've represented police officers to have tremendous respect for the job it is that they do, and almost awe for the nature of the decisions that we ask them to make and the responsibilities that we impose upon them, and also to be very sympathetic to their public lives and how the events of the last 3, 4, 5 years, how they have been unfairly demonized in the press. So I'm a political liberal with a heart that beats very strongly for police officers. And I think from that base, I can make statements to pretty much everybody. And I want to start by talking to my liberal friends. I'm profoundly disappointed by the response that I have seen to the Capitol riots. And I'll start at the top. And I'll start with a guy I voted for, President-elect Biden, who said, and I'm quoting, and this was a tweet. God, I wish these people would get off Twitter. And this is a tweet. No one can tell me that if it had been a group of Black Lives Matter protesters yesterday, that they wouldn't have been treated very differently than the mob that stormed the Capitol. That's fundamental nonsense. And at several levels. At its heart, what happened last Wednesday was that a small police force, the Capitol Police, were overwhelmed by an armed mob. What would President-elect Biden have had them do? You really have to ask that question. Would he want them to have used their handguns to shoot all of the members of the mob? The video showed the police did everything they could but shoot them. Would President-elect Biden have preferred that the video show The police engaged in a gun battle in the Capitol with bodies strewn everywhere. Is that really the image that we want to send to Americans, to our children, to people around the world? And the police actually did shoot and kill one of the people breaking into the Capitol. She was an unarmed woman. Exactly how many BLM protesters have been shot and killed by the police? I'll wait. I'll let you count on that. The answer is zero. Yes, there are a couple of pictures of police officers taking selfies with the protesters in the rotunda of the Capitol. But there were plenty of pictures, more of them, of police officers taking a knee during BLM protests, even when those protests turned violent. The officers who were taking the selfies in the Capitol are now under disciplinary investigation. I want to know more about the circumstances under which those selfies were taken. I can imagine that there are some circumstances that are a perfectly good explanation for it to avoid violence. I can imagine that there are others that are completely unacceptable explanations for why those selfies were taken. And there needs to be an investigation of it. And these officers are, in fact, under disciplinary investigation. And if it comes down to the fact that the involved officers were showing political sympathy for the mob, I'll tell you, I don't envy the police union lawyer who will end up defending them if they're fired. We need more information about it, though. There's also the footage that initially appeared to show some officers allowing rioters past the barricades. And this should teach us, we always need to wait for the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say it. And there was more to that story. We now know that the journalist who shot the video said the officers backed off the barricades because they were, in his words, completely outnumbered. Other videos taken at different entrances back that up and show the rioters quickly overwhelming police barricades and forcing the officers to retreat. Now, were there things wrong about how law enforcement handled the whole situation? Obviously, and investigations will sort that out. It's clear that the law enforcement presence was completely inadequate, and that intelligence that could have been simply had by spending a few minutes on Parler following some chats was not taken into account. That you didn't have appropriate physical barricades that had been erected. That there was inadequate coordination between the various law enforcement agencies and the National Guard and much, much more. All of that's going to get sorted out. And we'll learn where the breakdowns were, and hopefully we'll learn what not to do again. And we clearly have to do all that before the inauguration, right? But the failure of planning, the failures of planning in this case, can't be laid at the feet of rank-and-file police officers. I've looked at lots of videos of this riot at this point, and I saw police officers valiantly defending the Capitol, putting their bodies between an angry, armed mob and the Capitol. That's heroic. That is not any sort of derogation of their responsibilities. That is not them kowtowing to President Trump. Now I want to talk to conservatives for a moment, because there's a different take on the BLM analogy, one that we hear from the conservative side of the aisle. We even have heard this from a few police union presidents in the days following the riot. And what this is a defense of the mob that goes something like, BLM protests caused much more damage, and the Capitol mob was simply a group of peaceful protesters. Well, that too is wrong at many levels, isn't it? First of all, these weren't peaceful protesters. They were an armed mob. There was credible information that their intent was to execute Vice President Pence and Speaker Nancy Pelosi. And what were they going to do with those zip ties and the Molotov cocktails and the bombs? And this mob was attacking the Capitol, the seat of our government. They were there at the urging of our president, egging them on in an attempt to change the results of the presidential election. Yes, BLM protests caused damage, a lot of it. Ask me, I know. But the BLM protests were nothing compared to an armed mob posing a very real threat to our system of democracy. And this is a mob that did more than protest. They invaded the Capitol building. That should be sacred ground, right? They beat Officer Brian Sicknick to death, and they put dozens of other police officers in the hospital. They stole whatever wasn't nailed down, including laptops belonging to members of Congress. Who knows what the contents of those laptops are. They smeared feces on the walls of the Capitol. And if anyone is confused by what this mob was, just watch the horrific video of a D.C. police officer being dragged down the Capitol stairs, trampled, and then while face down, beaten with fists and feet and whatever was handy, including a flagpole. All the while, the mob is chanting USA in the background. You can't draw any sort of analogy between what happened on Capitol Hill and what has happened with the BLM and Antifa protests. They're very different. They both have turned out terribly for our society, but they are very, very different. So where do we go from here? I want to close with a few words for my police union friends. We have to change. As I'm recording this, there's a bill pending in Illinois that would end police collective bargaining. And that's just part of a 600-page bill that squarely has police unions in its sights. Who knows what the California legislature is going to do when it convenes in January? Who knows what's in store for police there? And who knows what legislatures and cities and counties all over the country are going to do to impact the rights of police unions in 2021. Just as that mob last week posed an existential threat to our democracy, police unions are now facing a very real existential threat. We need to get this through our heads. We must change. What do we need to do? Those of you who've been listening to me for a while know I always have lists. This is a blessedly short list. There's only 4 items on it. Here's my advice to police unions. First of all, get out of national politics. The risk-reward ratio is terrible. We've just seen that in its utter amplification. But it has always been terrible. Police unions, sheriff's unions, trooper unions need to be focused on the local level, not on national politics. And by getting out of politics, I don't mean just stop endorsing candidates for president. Police unions have only recently done that, by the way. That hasn't been their practice in the past. But it also includes Facebook posts weighing in on national policy. Just stay out of it. Number 2, for politics at the state and local level, we need to be engaging and supporting politicians on both sides of the aisle. You need to have one criterion for your endorsement of a candidate for office. That one criterion has to be, do they support police collective bargaining? If they oppose police bargaining, you oppose them, plain and simple. If they support police collective bargaining, then you can get into the other issues. But You need to have one litmus test here. How would they vote? Would they vote up or down on the continuation of your collective bargaining rights? Number three, get involved with your communities. And when you're exhausted from doing so, get more involved with your communities. Meet with your city council members, county board members on a regular basis. You don't have to talk to them about what's going on in law enforcement. You can just be talking about what Lewis Carroll used to call cabbages and kings. You can be talking about your families or Little League or whatever it might be. But meet with them. Make sure you build a relationship with them. Become part of your business community. Engage with advocacy groups and nonprofits. Go to neighborhood meetings. Sponsor programs for kids and much, much more. They, the community, they need to put a name to you other than police. They need to know what I know, that you are a thinking, caring person, someone with a family that you love, and someone who is in the job that you're in, this impossible job that you're in, to make your community basis better. We need you to engage. And fourth, this is more minor than the first three, use social media for one reason alone, to put forth positive messages about law enforcement. Don't comment on the wall or elections or immigration or China policies or the thousand and one other things that have gotten police officers into trouble in the last 5 years. If you're tempted to say something negative, come back to that thought the next day and see if it really, really had to be said. Stay positive with social media. So, I'm sorry this has been a bit of a downer, but, you know, hey, you only get a birthday once a year, and you get to do what you want on your birthday, right? And seriously, stay safe out there. The days up to the inauguration are fraught with concern. And even after the inauguration, we're not out of the weeds, right? We still have Antifa out there. And there's now the increased possibility that the newest version of Timothy McVeigh may be thinking of the grand gesture that he might make. We'll get through this. We're going to have a slog, and it's going to be a tough one. And we're going to need to rely on each other more than ever. But we'll come out on the other side. I'm confident of that. And hopefully we'll come out much the better for it. And maybe for my next birthday, I'll get a better present than shattered windows, broken glass, and profane graffiti. Thanks for listening, folks. This is Will Aitchison signing off.